Quick heads up, I do full chart readings at iamastrologyreadings.com if you want to go deeper. All right, let's get to it.
But he lived as an outsider. And from there, though, he was a great teacher and a great physician, as well as like a diviner and astrologer. And so all of the heroes of Greek myth, like Jason and the Argonauts, Hercules, Achilles, they all went to Chiron and trained with him and learned with him. And so there's a lot of artwork, and I just chose this one painting that I put on the screen that's called The Education of Achilles, where you see this youth Achilles holding a spear with Chiron holding a club, and they are hunting down a tiger. But there's many, many artworks you can see where Chiron is teaching these young warriors how to fight and how to hunt, which is something we've actually kind of neglected in a lot of the astrological takes on Chiron. But anyway, so he was renowned for his mastery as a physician, hunter, warrior, musician, astrologer, and a leader of the centaurs. And where in general, the centaurs were not well behaved, they kind of had no morals. They were like rowdy and drunken and violent. Chiron was considered to be like a virtuous leader, you know, a good and righteous character. So the story abruptly turns because somebody had opened some wine and the centaurs had all gotten drunk and they were essentially causing a violent disturbance. And Chiron and Hercules acted to sort of quell the riot. And in that action of Chiron trying to stop the violence, Chiron himself was wounded with a poisoned arrow that Hercules had. And so his leg became wounded and he had this painful wound that would not heal. And he retreated to his cave in agony. He quit teaching, he quit working, and he just sort of like laid in his cave crying and suffering and rage. And so he couldn't die, but eventually there was a deal negotiated with Zeus or Jupiter where Chiron was allowed to give up his immortality. And so he wound up taking the place of Prometheus. And in mythology, Prometheus was like tied to a stone and was having an eagle eat out his liver every day. Yes. So he took Prometheus's place and was killed. And so his life ended. And then Jupiter immortalized him again by putting him as a constellation in the sky. And so Liz Green really brought out to me several points that are often ignored in the astrological literature. People often talk about how Chiron was a wounded healer who learned from his own wounds and healed others. But really, his wound came after he was already a healer and he wasn't actually able to cure it. It became chronic and insufferable. So she brought out some other concepts and keywords about Chiron that I thought were really fascinating.
There was something that stood out to me in that story. Mm-hmm. He was hurt by friendly fire.
Mm-hmm. That, and by trying to do good. Like yes. He was collateral damage.
Yes. And so when you said that and I thought, damn, he was hurt by friendly fire. And then I think about where a lot of our wounds come from. Would it actually be from friendly fire? We get wounded by the people that's close to us.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I'll share my own stories later because I did a life review, but these are some key words that I now think about when I think about Chiron. So I've definitely broadened my own thoughts beyond the wounded healer.
Okay.
But anything that has to do with a wound, whether you are the wounded person, you're the victim, or you're a perpetrator, or even witnessing other people's wounds. The notions of healers and healing, but also hunters and prey and weapons and hunting. Many, many astrologers do see Chiron as a teacher. And so there's a lot of things that come up around Chiron as a teacher, learning lessons. But yeah, some of these harder things would be chronic suffering, wounds that don't heal, incurable conditions, disability, mortality, repetitive painful experiences, including the emotional ones like shame and envy and rage, insecurity, vulnerability, sacrifice. There's also some connections I saw with Chiron as like the outsider or someone who's in exile or someone who's a maverick and doing things differently, scapegoating or being a scapegoat, as well as divination, diviners, seers, and prophets. And so, yeah, I'd encourage you to sort of consider all these kinds of concepts when you're looking at Chiron. And I'll bring that in because I also looked at how astrologers are using Chiron today. And sometimes in some really concrete fields like financial astrology, we're seeing that Chiron has meanings there, right? And so I think we can learn from those things too.
All right.
So when you look at a natal chart, because I was trained in traditional astrology and I got used to looking at the seven planets, and then I slowly took the three modern ones back, I thought, well, how do I know whether or not I should use Chiron? Like when I look at somebody's chart for the first time or my own chart, how do I know if it's important to use Chiron or not? And Melanie Reinhart is an astrologer who first wrote about Chiron in the late 1980s, and she's really been studying Chiron for all these years. Now, she's pretty thoroughly a modern astrologer who primarily works from a psychological basis, but her work is very impressive about Chiron. And so she says that sometimes Chiron is a focal presence in a natal chart, and kind of sometimes it's not. And so there are some clues she gives to when you open somebody's birth chart, is Chiron going to be an important story or character in their life? One of those is Chiron near the angle? So if Chiron is close to the ascendant, the midheaven, the descendant, the IC, if Chiron is close to the lunar nodes, the north node, the south node, or at what's called the nodal bendings, where it's like halfway between the nodes, what we call square to the nodes.
All right.
If Chiron is aspected to many planets, and especially if it's like the sun, the moon, or the chart ruler, or if somebody has an aspect pattern, like a stellium or a bucket pattern or a T-square, where Chiron is like one of those important parts of the aspect pattern. She also says that, so when Chiron is closest to the sun, he's at 14 Libra. That is the closest part to the sun that's known as the perihelion. So if somebody has Chiron, like the between, let's say, 9 and 19 Libra, then that makes it more important. Likewise, the aphelion, when Chiron is the furthest from the sun, which is close to where we are now, is 5 Aries. And that also is like an important turning point. And so she further talked about when Chiron is at Aries.
Wait, let me ask you. Is just that 1 degree, 5 and 14?
Yeah, those are the exact turning points.
All right. So what if somebody has something like at 7 Aries?
She suggested you use at least a 5 degree orb. Like from 0 to 10 Aries.
Uh-huh.
And she also said in Aries, Chiron's kind of more Uranian because it's closer to Uranus. And in Libra, it's kind of more like Saturn. In how it manifests in life.
Oh, no. Well, I'll just let you know. I do have Chiron in Aries.
Yeah, I have Chiron in Aries too. So we'll
and it's in opposition to Uranus.
Mine too, Paul.
Really?
Yeah. I'll show you my chart in a second.
All right. Yeah, but I didn't. When you said that, I was like, wait, I ain't. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, we've been hearing Chiron calling is how I think of it, you know, that anyway, so the other things she said to look at were if Chiron stationed either retrograde or direct within a week before you're born, you know, week or week after, if somebody has a stellium in Sagittarius with an aspect to Chiron, or she has some specific areas of Leo, mid Scorpio, and early Sagittarius where she said Chiron was important. But now I have seen in those first few things, like the angles, part of the pattern, or in Aries, I've had a lot of clients lately with Chiron in Aries.
All right. I have a question. I believe I know the answer, but I'm just asking it because I know somebody might be sitting out there thinking this question. What's the connection to Sagittarius? Why?
There's a lot of astrologers who relate to Chiron being related to Sagittarius. There's numerous reasons. One of them is, of course, the centaur mythology being like Sagittarius, who's a horse.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that the area around 23 Sagittarius is what's known as the galactic center. But in Melanie's case, she believed that when Chiron is in Saturn's orbit, that it's stronger because it's closer to us. And that is when it is like Leo to either mid-Scorpio or early Sagittarius.
All right.
If you like these daily horoscopes and want one personalized for you, same style, 3 minutes, about your chart, you can book a first impression reading at IamAstrologyReadings.com for $25 and I'll record it, drop it right here on the feed. Tips is also welcome, even a dollar helps. Full deep dive readings also available. Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all at IamAstrologyReadings. My brother's gotta eat too. I appreciate you in advance.